Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
At the end of June, Dr. Fred Pestello retired from being the president of St. Louis University here, not right down the road from us, not too far away from where we are, downtown St. Louis. And we are joined today on the Chris and Amy show by the new president of St. Louis University, Dr. Edward Faser, who is with us now on KMOX. Dr. Faser, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So it's been, what, a couple of months on the job? What's it about, I guess, a couple of months? How's it going?
It's terrific. We just welcomed 1,200 new students this week. We had a terrific convocation ceremony. We've welcomed our new faculty and staff, and we've gotten the semester started this morning. So, good start.
That's today exciting. Was the first day.
It's first day of class. Wow.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I have a ton of questions for you, and we were talking before we went on air. I got super excited because there's a National Parks connection. But I do want to note that your first day officially here at St. Louis University was June 1st, so 2 weeks after the tornado. So you're coming into St. Louis. Just what was that coming to this new city, but then also knowing, all right, they've been through a lot, and now I'm now heading up this university.
Yeah, so we did come in early June, and my wife and I moved into the university residence, and that was in a part of the city just across from Forest Park, which had been hit pretty hard, and our neighbors on one side of us lost 50 trees in their yard. Of course, the city, for a couple of things I noticed. First, I was really impressed as a city person, city planning background, mm-hmm. with the city's response and the cleanup effort. I know it was a lot of that, worst of that was out. It was wonderful to see how many people were stepping up to help neighborhoods. I think at SLU, this preceded me, but we had opened up Chaffetz to provide some support to the city. So it's gratifying to see the response. Obviously, a big challenge for St. Louis going forward.
Yeah.
So just your first weeks on the job, and there was the transition from Fred Pestello to you. What is that transition like? What happens in that period of time?
Yeah, well, it's been very smooth. Fred has been terrific to work with. A lot of it relates to getting up to speed on the university's budget, on ways in which we're responding to the current national landscape, the research challenges, research funding challenges federally, and so forth. A lot of it is just meeting our new trustees, meeting many of our faculty and staff, and those kinds of things.
So let's talk about the federal funding challenge. And there are a lot of organizations around the country that just, things are up in the air. And universities, it's no different. So how challenging is it now? What's the scale of the challenge for SLU?
For SLU, it's all relative. So we are. We have just become an R1 university, one of 52 private university at the R1 level, which is the highest level of research intensity. So it is not immaterial to have a reduction in your federal funding or to have some of your grants pulled back, paused, challenged. And we have had a little bit of that. It has been manageable at this point. We're hopeful that going forward, the federal government will resolve particularly how it funds the overall cost of research. There's some promising signs there. But if the trend continues a pullback in federal research, it will be something we have to adjust to like any other institution.
So how would you adjust? What would you do? I mean, if you don't get this money back?
Well, we have to think about rebalancing teaching and research. SLU is a very strong teaching institution and research. It's really over the last decade or so that our funded research trajectory has increased substantially, such that we eventually were named an R1 just this last year. So for us, that's a little bit easier adjustment than it would be for a very large public research institution or for WashU. But it will mean, I think, for every institution just stepping back from SLU across higher education, rebalancing the level of activity between research and teaching. There's really no alternative for that because you cannot replace the scale of the federal investment in research mm-hmm. with philanthropy or corporate sources or other sources of funding.
And just mentioning the R1, there are only, is it 52?
Yes.
Private universities that are R1 schools.
Correct.
So rather prestigious for St. Louis University.
Yeah, relatively rare. At that top of the, you know, you have a couple of thousand four-year institutions of higher education. So at that top scale, it is a relatively small number, both for public and private, mm-hmm. at doing research at that level of intensity.
With this upcoming school year, obviously being your first, but what are you most excited for, both for you and for the university?
We are getting ready to launch a new effort to define the next strategy for SLU. We last did our strategic plan for the institution about 10 years ago, and of course the national higher education landscape has changed a lot. SLU's, some of the things that really drew me to SLU were the degree to which the institution is tied into St. Louis and the region. I think that's really important for our students as a teaching laboratory, if you will, and for us as a citizen of St. Louis. I expect a lot of focus on that going forward. Our students are terrific. We do a lot of what and how mm-hmm. at the university, of course, teaching students in the domains, disciplines, and areas that they'd wish to pursue their career. But we spend a lot of time on why at a Jesuit institution like SLU. And that's core to our mission. We'll spend a lot of time thinking about how we advance that Jesuit mission in this next 5 to 10 years of a very rapidly changing higher education landscape.
How is enrollment now compared to what it was in years previous?
We're down a little bit this fall, and
Within context of other universities around the country,
probably
or region?
Fairly common, certainly in the Midwest. Yes,
okay.
So both the Midwest and the Northeast are demographically. We're all adjusting to the demographic change and the reduction in the number of high school students going to college, and that's hit our region harder, relatively speaking, than, say, the Southwest or the West, most of the Western states. Although even where I previously was, Oregon, we were starting to see that kind of demographic shift. What we have to all of us do, I think, in higher education is recognize that there is a more diverse set of students out there of all walks of life who need access to higher education of various kinds, and we need to adjust to that. That's an appropriate response to the situation we're in.
So, like you said, that a little bit of a drop in enrollment, so you could say the volume is down a bit, but the diversity is up.
Students,
more people from all over.
All over. Yeah. Still seeing very strong demand at SLU for students from all over the world. And that's one of our enrollment challenges as well, is it was difficult for students to get visas this year, and that has also been, that's impacted us. We are among the most international universities in the country. If you look at the ratio of international students to total students at SLU, we have a campus in Madrid. We've had that campus there since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. So there's a deep tradition of international education at SLU. And in this moment of challenged international enrollment and the ability for students to gain visas, that's been tough for us.
And any signs of relief on that front at all? Or does this look like it's going to be a challenge for a while?
Visas have started to open up. I think we have a larger national conversation to have about the role of immigration and its benefits to the U.S. economy. And that conversation will hopefully happen.
This is going to sound like a dumb question, so I apologize, and you probably don't, there's no way to quantify this yet, but there's moments that can like change the trajectory of something. When Oprah ran a marathon, she single-handedly did more for running and marathoning than anyone who came before her. Do you think we have an American Pope, a Pope that went to Villanova? Is there going to be like a Catholic university bump? Is there more interest, or do you think that's something? I mean, obviously you can't quantify it yet because it's so new, but is that even silly to think of that, or do you think it could have an impact?
I don't think it's silly. I think, you know, come back to the question of why mm-hmm. students, this is a generation of students who are looking for greater meaning in their lives. That's what I've observed. Over the course of my career, so I went to Jesuit University at the University of San Francisco, and then my entire career was at UNC Chapel Hill and University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, University of Manchester in England, and Oregon State in the West. And all of them, large public research, secular institutions. What I observed in our students, even in those schools, was a increased thirst for why, what their why was going to be in their lives. You get this in spades.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
In a Jesuit university like SLU, and I would be I am hopeful that in fact there is likely to be an increase in demand for students, whatever their faith background. They may be Muslim or Jewish or Catholic or Presbyterian or anything, or no faith at all. What they'll find at an institution like SLU, a Catholic Jesuit institution, is a lot of conversation about purpose and what they're going to do with their lives in service to others, with and in service to others. I think that's of appeal to this generation more so than I saw early in my career.
SLU President Dr. Edward Faser is with us here on KMOX. We have a message from a listener who says, I am a 99 alum of SLU. Get us a tournament bid this year, please. Now, and this leads me to this.
Yeah,
we talk to athletic director Chris May quite frequently on this show, and we know that sports is a huge way to market your university. So having some successful sports programs does that, especially programs like men's basketball, draws a lot of attention to your university. What is your level of commitment on that and helping the athletic department along?
Yeah, I appreciate the advice. When I came to SLU,
it's the listener. It's a 99 alum. I didn't listen
to the advice from any alum. So keep them coming. I told Chris May when I came to SLU, our athletic director, that all he had to do in my first year was go undefeated. And then subsequent years, we can see what happens. Athletics are critically important. We have Division I athletics at SLU at a high level with student athletes who will impress you every day with their level of discipline. I will just cite our women's softball team that won the A-10 championship and is also delivered the highest GPA in the country.
Wow, that's
that
awesome.
Is that's instructive awesome. Of how we try to approach academics and athletics at SLU. When I've been at Chapel Hill or Illinois or Oregon State, big athletic programs at those schools, when you have excellence in athletics coupled with excellence in academics, it builds a level of school spirit and a level of public engagement, alumni engagement, student engagement that powers the university in pretty extraordinary ways. So that will be a priority for me.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it. You were at three universities where that is, sports is huge at those schools.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So very good.
I love it. Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, but the Laughlin Family Champion Center is so impressive on the SLU campus. A lot of my friends, I'm 42, so that age group, a lot of my friends who went to SLU, like, oh my gosh, look at the campus now. It's so fancy. It's pretty nice looking.
Yeah, we are very lucky to have good facilities. And that center just, it provides the right space to give the support for our student athletes that they need.
Dr. Edward Faser, the new president of St. Louis University, thank you for coming in, talking with us, and best of luck in moving the university forward.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.